It's the 12th of February. It's still the 12th of February. It's only a quarter to midnight, and Lee Han, blog boy from space, is leaving. He's leaving because he's got to catch the last train at Blackburn where he lives. He promised his lady friend that he would be home. And he's not going to talk because that's not how he rolls. And fair fucking up. He can do whatever the fuck he wants. He's fucking entitled. He's got a massive dick. Mr. Lee Han, it's been such a pleasure to have you. Soon. No, seriously. I haven't seen you for 4 fucking months. I didn't see you for 4 months before that. Too long. Too long. Okay, now I'm going to hand the phone to Adele. This is Dinner Party the Third, by the way. Goodbye, Lee. I'm going to stand up.
Seriously.
Dude. Awesome. Lee's leaving. Say goodbye to Lee.
Catch you very later. See you. Catch you.
He's off. Okay, I've said the time, I've said the date, I've set it up. It's time to hand the phone to Adele. She can talk or not as she chooses.
Thanks, Tegan. I have to say, what, Barnaby? What do I call you? T-boy? Big boy. Okay, thanks, big boy. I'd just like to say this has been a really great experience. The food has been amazing, and T-Boy, or should I say the big boy, has proven himself to be quite the hostess with the mostest, I have to say. And we were having some pretty interesting discussions when the big boy was out of the room about things about him that... Now he's looking at me, I don't think I can say. Okay, yes, he also does have an obsession with Danielle Freakley that I have picked up on. And I mean, let's just say I think the friendship is a little bit more, once is enough. He is now saying that he has got it on with Danielle Freakley. I mean, it is something that we all want to do, but... and no editing out, T Big Boy. I've called you Big Boy in this. We call him Big Boy because one conspiracy that we discussed tonight was that Big Boy has a big dick. No, I'm trying to make sure that the microphone can hear what I'm saying. But also, I mean, we've been talking about how he's going to be in the film and who would be the ideal companion for him. And we've all decided that either Danielle Freakley would be a fantastic person because that is one of his ultimate fantasies. Him in bed with Danielle Freakley is something that the big boy has always dreamt of. Now, the other idea was that the big boy could be in bed with the other Robin, Robin Wilkinson. Now, I've never met this man, Robin, but I have heard many stories about him. But the idea of the idea of Big Boy, aka T Boy, T. in bed with Robin Wilkinson is something that he has been fantasizing about. It is something that the Big Boy has been fantasizing about. But now he's saying what? He has a small dick. No. Well, we all want to see Big Boy's dick. And anyway, I'm now going to pass you on to Robin Healy. It's not Robin Wilkinson. It is the other Robin in the equation.
Okay, so after that sort of rather lengthy tirade, I would just like to clear a few things up or more sort of express things from my point of view. The first thing that of note is that really, like, Tegan seems to have or seems to be very, very sensitive whenever the subject of Danielle Freakley comes up. In fact, just about a minute ago, he seemed particularly irate just at the mention of her very name and jumps to the conclusion that there was an insinuation revolving around her infatuation with her, which was actually not the case at all. The situation was entirely different. So there has been some tension on his part or some tetchiness regarding the subject of their relationship, which ostensibly, as far as I can tell, as merely a friendship. And what I'm very interested in is the censorship process involved in this audio recording. Most of what I'm saying now is going to be edited out. I just wonder exactly what the cutoff point is, exactly where, what is going to be left in, if any of what I'm saying now. In fact, I suspect that the audio recording might start, my audio soundbite might start now after about 3 minutes has elapsed, because everything else is going to be completely cut. So that implies that there's a level of control which is creatively, as a creative person, I think is entirely suspect in terms of its ultimate censorship. So it's going to be an interesting experiment. T is right now looking at me and he's wondering about what I'm talking about. And that might be... So, I don't know. I might get lucky. Some of this might end up in the recording. Or maybe not. I suspect probably maybe not. The other thing that was quite interesting was the delivery of the meal this evening. Absolutely delicious meal, really well executed. Everybody was sitting around waiting for that moment when dinner was served. There was talk of preparations being underway. No announcement as such that was happening. So everybody was sitting around and for quite some time. And then T announced loudly, to everybody's absolute surprise, dinner is served, motherfuckers, quite angrily. And everybody realized that dinner, in fact, was served. It just, nobody actually knew. So this delicious dinner was just sitting behind the counter, out of view, out of sight, unannounced. And yeah, we were suddenly alerted to that fact.
Facebook,
is
Facebook a thing in the past?
You're in charge of my work. Wow. Okay, how can people have the audacity to interrupt an artist in his process? It's outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. You're doing the same thing. Oh, okay. Oh. It was a phenomenally regrettable rant, actually, I think. But anyway, yeah, so what I was saying was this amazing dinner just kind of happened unannounced. No one knew it was happening. And then T announced it with absolute outrage that, like, nobody knew that it was happening. And that was all very, very bizarre. So, yeah, and then what happened after that? Yeah, I think that T's beard is looking good, but I think it needs to be trimmed to about half its length, and I think he needs to shave his neck. And I also think his hair needs to be just like maybe a little bit shorter. And then, you know, with those minor adjustments, I think he'll be looking good and he'll be ready to star in the film that is Neurocam. And yeah, there was also talk about the whole recording process and about the censorship process and how, you know, people, there was a speculation that people might just be, you know, might think after the fact that T is just trying to get people really fucked up and sort of exploit them by taking these audio recordings of things that they may say in weakened moments. But there was, you know, discussion was had about that. And personally, I think it's totally fine to do that. I thought that the entire dinner party was going to be recorded start to finish. I didn't realize that people were going to suddenly be put on the spot as I am now, and recordings would be made ad lib in this fashion. So, yeah, so I'm kind of cool with it, and I think that if anyone has a problem with it, then they have every right to object, and things do need to be screened in that sense. But in terms of T just freely cutting things out or leaving things in, I don't know. I almost think it should be up to us, the audience, or the participants, to decide what goes in or what goes out. So now, after this lengthy ramble, I'm going to hand this on to somebody else, and I'm probably going to hand it to somebody that's got a Camberwell carrot in their hand, because that might get a result. But the problem is I've got to butt into a conversation to do that. Oh, yeah, side note. T wanted us all to go outside. He was like expecting an outdoor photograph, some kind of documentation thing, which required everybody being outside together in a group in a very formalized photographic context. That didn't happen. T mentioned that he didn't want to appear to be a control freak. He didn't want to kind of construct events in that manner. But it's kind of curious that there was also implicit within that was a kind of a more oblique strategy to guilt people into doing it anyway, which I thought was quite fascinating. It didn't happen. Numerous photographs around the table did happen. And I say inside is the new outside. So I'm going to hand this back. I'm going to hand this back to T.
I hate to interrupt.
I don't know if is it even still recording? Yeah, it's still recording.
No, that's okay. Rant along. As long as the hardware can accommodate it. Obviously, I mean, I may have to serialise this on the blog, but I'll do it.
You're going to cut it.
I probably am. And it'll cause me as much pain as it causes you. If it's good enough, I'll serialise it and post it at a later date, but it's not going on the notepad. Thank you. Love your work. Where are we now? I'm sitting on the couch next to Matt Cab. Now, he's very deeply engaged in conversation with Danny, and I don't really want to interrupt them. Probably wouldn't want to talk anyway because he's a very private person. I do have him on some audio with Berkey, which still hasn't gotten posted due to clearance issues with Berkey because it's compromising for him. And I haven't been able to get him to listen to it because he's not an internet guy. And you know, but Matt Cav is in that audio, and he actually officially gave permission. He was one of the people who was good enough to get back to me and said, yeah, you know, I had to talk him into it. Originally he said, can you edit me out? And I said, well, I'd really like not to. And he said, all right, go on. I sound like a dick, and I'm a very proud person, but go for it. And I'll, you know, because that's the kind of guy he is, and I love Matt Cav forever for that, amongst many other things. But right now he's talking to Danny, and so I don't think that the audio is going to happen. I'm now looking at Sorka. You know, we've got Matt Cab and Danny having a conversation. Not Danny, my housemate, I should add, but Danny and Sorka, Danny Smith. I'm now going to tell the story about Sorka because she's busy talking to Adele, and I'm not going to interrupt her. But we'll get her eventually, and I'm going to tell the story, and I'll send this audio to her, and hopefully she'll listen to it and she'll hear the story, which I sort of wanted to actually tell in this company, but maybe it's better to do it this way. Yeah, it's really interesting to me that I have this terrible obsession with her, and she knows this. I've made no secret of it. I remember Shane Henry got her to come to my birthday party after sort of like 6-8 months of obsessing over the chick. Shane Henry sort of spontaneously at the end of the shift, we were sharing a booth, and he said, she said to him, because they were friends, what are you doing on Saturday? Oh, I'm going to take it to birthday party, do you want to come? And she said, yeah, excellent. And he was officially liable for nothing and the guest of honour, because I'd actually asked him to do this. So I'll see if he can, yeah. And we started, and as a result of that, she came. I never introduced her to Jay, sadly. I really wanted to do that. And I was like, come and meet Sorka. But she said, oh, no, I have to go to the toilet now. And then she disappeared. And the next time I saw her, I walked in on her and Robin Wilkinson getting on in the room at the end of the hall. And she never met Sorka. Point is, she gave me her email address and we started corresponding. But the genesis of this was that we're initiated in the same batch at the SRC. And I started to notice that, you know, she was just some chick. But I started to notice whenever we were in the same room, I got these terrible anxiety symptoms. My heart would start to palpitate and, you know, I would be shaky and nervous and hypervigilant and all of these things. And it sort of frustrated me because I was sort of like, what's going on with this? What's that about? And then gradually I remember telling Carol Coulter this story at the first dinner party, and she thought it was sweet, apparently. She was charmed. You've got a crush on this chick. And then it sort of grew from there. And I became very preoccupied with her, and she wrote to me. But anyway, the point is it transpired eventually via our correspondence, and obviously... I will send this audio to everyone who's at the dinner party. Hopefully that's all right. She obviously will dictate how the actual material is used. The point is, it transpired via constant. She has terrible anxiety disorder. She gets very nervous and has panic attacks. And it's fairly obvious to look at her that she's recognisable as a fairly highly strung, nervous sort of person. But, yeah, very severe anxiety disorder at times. And as such, it's interesting to me, who is someone who is, yeah, I get social anxiety and get nervous and such, but I've never had a panic attack. I'm not a particularly anxious or nervousy sort of person, but this chick makes me fucking nervous to the point where it's really visceral, and I could tell at the SSC sometimes when she was in my aisle without even needing to look up, because I would suddenly start to, you know, hyperventilate and, oh yeah, that'll be Silka. Don't know what that's about, but it's fucking annoying. I remember when she turned up this evening, when she arrived, you know, pretty much everyone else was already here by this point. Rob Healy and Adele had just arrived. Then Silka turns up, and the minute she arrived, even though I was feeling, you know, pretty relaxed and comfortable and everything was, you know, suddenly, bam, heart palpitations, like, oh, here we go. It's the 2003 disease. If this is going to persist all night, we're fucked. I'm fucked for the evening. But thankfully it's gone away and I'm feeling pretty relaxed. And so I wonder if it's physiological or if it's purely psychological. It's all mental at the end of the day. Don't know. Anyway, that's the story I wanted to tell. And Sokra will listen to it, hopefully. Love to know what she thinks. Who we hand to now? Who's not engaged? Grimsey's sitting there relatively unengaged. We might hand it to him. Okay, it's your turn to talk, my friend.
All right. Okay, so, you know, I was about to play. All right, just a minute. All right, well, I can do the song before this. All right, which was, like totally awesome. And some people don't understand this song, but it's, like, to be frank, one of my favorite songs. As far as, like, you know, techno instrument, pretty much instrumentals go, just a minute, that's the wrong one. All right, you know, it's pretty much as good as early 90s techno gets. I mean, for one thing, it has trumpets, which most early 90s techno doesn't have. And it goes kind of like this. That's not so much the trumpet. That's a bit squealing. Yes, man, it gets really good soon. Oh, yeah. Whoa. Turn that funk up. That's about as good as it gets. All right, some people are complaining with that, so we go back to Erwin Collins. Okay. Now, I'm caught between a conversation by an artist, and they haven't told me what that artist was. But, you know, they sound really interesting, something to do with abstract shit. All right, just a minute. We're gonna interrupt this thing. I don't know if this is going to pick up or not, but, you know, this could be some deep shit. But the question is it art? And are they talking about art? I think they're talking about art, but is the conversation about art actually art? Which pretty much goes with pretty much the question of, is the sexy potato is currently up against Miley Cyrus on getting the most fans by joining the group? Can the sexy potato get more fans than Miley Cyrus? Are you becoming a fan of the sexy potato? Or becoming a fan of the question. You see the difference here. I've looked up the sexy potato. Sexy potato is getting shit fans. Miley Cyrus is still winning by a mile. The question is whether the sexy potato, which is getting no fans, is more popular than by Miley Cyrus. Is the success of the question, not the actual potato. You see, it's a fundamental difference. But, you know, they've got this other conversation here. Let's see if you can follow it. I don't know what's going on. We're going in now. All right. I think we're going... Okay. We're going to Jackie.
Whatever story. Who is that?
It's Tegan's blog.
Oh, no. I don't
want to say. No. We're just covering what you know, what's going on. We're just covering for prosperity this conversation. It's not. You're talking about some artist.
I'm not.
You were before.
Okay, it's very, very clear who I was talking about.
Okay, well, you know, I was talking about Miley Cyrus. So you missed that bit. Okay, it looks like we're going to be having you know what this means?
No comment.
this means there's going to be Russian cocaine.
What?
I explained
this
to you.
Where's the Slivovitz?
There's not going to be those fucking Slivovitz.
Not happy.
Okay. You see, people just like, you know, when they think that people are listening, they think they're talking to the media, you know, they just clam up.
My brother on the internet.
We're talking about your brother. Okay. We talked about your brother before, how next week we're going, you know, I'm going to find a log, and I'm going to like...
This is not okay, Danny.
No? Okay, so you know, we have a muffins in front of us, and which are going to be awesome. Okay, now...
Tegan has just confirmed that he actually has a rather small penis, even though I am yet to believe that. But Robin Healy has also confirmed that he likes a little ding-a-ling because it doesn't tickle the tonsils.
What did you say?
You know, have you ever seen that one Golden Gordon where it's the guy that's obsessed with football to the point where he's teaching, like, the only things is
I'm not really here to talk about Tegan's penis. Apparently that's a topic of conversation, but as far as I'm aware, it wasn't. Okay, so we're at Tegan's dinner party, and my name's 2003. Not really, my name's... Anyway, what have we been talking about tonight? We were talking with... Just recently, we were talking about... We're actually talking about a lot of sort of photography aspects and stuff like that. One of the guys here, Daniel, I'm not sure what name he really goes by, was asking me, how do you get that point of glow on photos? I'm like, yeah, it's called having a good lighting setup and light boxes and a bit of Photoshop. So I had to explain to him what light boxes were and how you can use different kinds of materials to get different exposures onto light and all that kind of, pardon me, onto skin and even just using different light exposures of cells and all this kind of shit. If you use this kind of material, it's going to have a... It's going to look quite smooth on skin. If you use some other kind of material, it's going to end up looking maybe a bit sparse or nothing. Anyway, what else were we talking about? Talking about Helen Chadwick and Harry Nankin, just a couple of others I'm quite interested in at the moment, mainly because of their take on using different kinds of materials rather than just sort of, I'm taking a photo of a dead fish, just, you know, using materials for their textural aspects and things like that. It's quite interesting. What else are we talking about? I was sort of talking about what makes really interesting artists. We brought up Dali as an example, basically because of the recent exhibition, and you know, suddenly everyone knows how he is. Suddenly everyone's like, oh yeah, Dali, he's interesting. It's like, well, you didn't know who the fuck he was until you saw those cool photos on the front of MTV on some cool rope, but I don't know. So we're talking about people like him, we're also talking, like I said, we're talking about Helen Chadwick as well. But the main point that we were getting at was that what makes their work really, really interesting is that as artists, I hate kind of saying artists, especially when I'm on the north side of the city, because it's just so cliche or some shit. But anyway, it's that in order to do really, really interesting work and stuff like that, that's actually worthwhile, rather than just sort of, you know, commercial-looking images or whatever, photos, designs, is that you need to cover a very, very, very large area of technical work. I mean, you need to actually know how to use the media that you're working with. And media, by the way, refers to what materials or what materials and what equipment you're using. That's what media is. Medium is the way that you use those materials. That's something that people always get wrong, and it really shits me. Media, media, M-E-D-I-A, is what you're using. Medium, M-E-D-I-A, is how you use it. Anyway, yeah, we were saying that you need to, for example, photography, was using an example, because that's what I know about, is that you need to cover such a large aspect of how to use, you know, what, for example, how film works, how all that cameras stuff, work. Like, you know, they, I'm just going to talk about film for now, because I don't really like digital very much. You need to understand how,
like, all that stuff is
that it's all based really around photons. It's all based around light technology and that sort of thing, and chemicals, and, like, you know, light sensitive chemicals, and that whole side of processing and everything like that. You need to learn all about that, and even, you know, even making really, really well exposed photographs. You know, you need to know about all that kind of stuff, and also making high quality prints and that sort of thing. You need to know how to make high quality work before you can go on and do any kind of experimental stuff, before you can start exploring other aspects of the media that you're using. If you, and this is something that really shits me, if you skip all of that initial technical aspect or anything.
You
need to have all that kind of understanding down. And that's what shits me. So many people skip that whole side of it, and they go, oh yeah, I'm an artist because I can take a blurry photograph or whatever. Or I'm an artist because I can paint this thing. You don't really know what it is, but I'm only using the color green. Like, doing anything. That's just you being a douchebag. Fucking anyone can do that. Everyone is born with a part in their brain that allows them to sort of explore sort of creative sides to things. But the fact is that if you're a yuppie and you don't use that part of your brain, it's going to die. It's a muscle. It's not going to come back. Unless you exercise it and you keep up with it, then if you actually use it, then it's going to be worthwhile. It's going to do something. If you don't use it, it's just going to wither away and die. And that's why yuppies that take fucking photos of, you know, shadows and shadow of a chair on a fucking brick wall and make it black and white and go, ooh, it's art. It's like, no, you're just a douchebag and you don't know what you're talking about. Sorry, something really pissed me off. And that's something that I really don't like about the whole Melbourne Northside art scene, is that there are so many fucking retards that do stuff like that, you know? Oh, I did some stoner drawings. They look really cool and weird. So I'm going to put them in a gallery which is situated in someone's garage. You know, it must be cool. I'm totally part of the art scene now. Well, actually, you're not. You're just a fucking douchebag and you don't have any idea what you're talking about. You might think you do because you might hang around with people that have an understanding because they've done a lot of learning. They've done all that technical side of it. They know what they're talking about. But you're just a fucking retard with a stupid haircut, and you have to admit that. Oh, I have a Holger, you know? No. Why do you have that camera? Oh, because everyone has them, they look cool. Why does it look cool? Oh, I don't know, you know, it's just the way that it looks cool. But what is it that makes it look cool? Oh, I don't know, it's just, you know, how it's kind of fuzzy around the edges. Yeah, do you know why that happens? No, it just looks cool. Yeah, that's why you're a retard. We actually were talking about this earlier this evening. Because originally I was planning to fight one of Tegan's friends, something to do with the Holger. I can't really remember how it came to that. But anyway, and so I was thinking if that person was going to be here this evening, I was going to actually, because I recently bought a Holger, and I was going to, you know, just to be a douchebag, I was going to bring it with me, wear it around my neck as an accessory, of course, with no film in it. Just bring it for the sake of it, just walk around saying, oh, I've got a Holger, just to be a retard. Obviously I didn't, because, you know, I'm not that dumb. And then I get here, and Tegan has this Holger sitting on the table, obviously with no film in it. I'm like, yep, that's exactly it, isn't it? Got no film in it. It's just there for the sake of being a Holger. My point exactly. Trying to think what else we're talking about tonight. I don't know, bad pop music, and what the difference between Lady Gaga and any other pop person is.
there really is no difference. It's just that, you know, now is a different point in time, so they're not going to be doing exactly what was been done 5, 10, 20 years ago. It's going to be pretty similar, but it's not going to be exactly the same. But it's basically the same concept. Anyway, yeah. They're my thoughts like of this evening.
It's like their concept of it, their idea of what to do, was completely different from how I saw it.
Oh, okay.
Because they were just kind of like, oh, we want people to see that, like, oh, this is really bad and it's destroying his life. It's like, that's not how I see it at all. I kind of see him as like, yeah, he's an anti-hero, but like, he's definitely a hero. It's like,
and what sort of
he's
think
kind of like. That kind of all the, that whole crystal meth thing, although it's meth, like,
horrible,
you know,
yeah,
it's a horrible drug, but I can't help but applaud everything that he's doing.
And
because he's kind of breaking out of his.
And what saves him morally as well, he's got the kid who's sick, yeah, like a child with some sort of illness.
So he's got,
it gives him the.
Cerebral palsy, I think.
Yeah, so that sort of gives him a license in some way to sort of do
this. I think it's still recording.
But yeah, like, well, there's this one scene.
I think it's still recording.
He's up for like 10 minutes. Five, first season.
Just shit that we were already talking about tonight.
Oh, don't
it says it's up to like half an hour or something if you want to add anything.
As far as I know.
And I didn't mention.
Yeah, continue.
Like,
what we were.
No. Oh, okay, so maybe it is.
But like, oh, there's this big debate.
Did you want to talk into
it? Because they want him to get the kid and like each other's family, but he doesn't want to. And there's this, gets. Kind of, there's an intervention thing in the fifth episode. I won't ruin it too much, but basically he's saying to him, like, he doesn't want to get the, this, you know, the chemotherapy and the treatment and stuff, and they all want him to, and they have an intervention to try and get him to do it, and it's one of the best scenes I've seen in anything.
Yep.
So
yeah,
good.
I stumbled on that one, but it was, yeah, quality stuff.
Yeah, like a friend of mine just told me about it last week, and I borrowed the first season from him.
And as an actor, it sort of shows how different he is, because he's such a slapstick doofus in Malcolm in the Middle, and in that one, it was, he's still got a bit of the same. But
oh, you guys
really
yeah, there are those
that.
Little,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
There are those little moments when you kind of see the Malcolm in the Middle character,
yeah, the comedic sort of stuff.
But
I
he's
think
such a good actor, though.
Like at the start.
Don't
of
give
the
any
series.
Big spoilers of only a couple of
no,
episodes.
No, no, that's cool. At the start of that first series, you see a lot more of it than you do in the later parts.
The comedic stuff?
Well, not
no,
necessarily
more the
Malcolm
in the Middle stuff.
But it's just
like,
it's just like his little kind
of
mannerisms and shit like that. Yeah. I think later on in the series, you don't see them quite as much.
But how is the intervention, though?
Oh, that's great. I have the talking pillow.
I thought you guys were talking
it's
about
it's just over here. These guys aren't using it. I just finished
no,
using it.
No,
it's
talking about Breaking Bad.
I just wanted to check that it was still recording.
We're talking
because
about Breaking
yep.
Bad.
Yeah.
It might have been when I was
no,
bad.
It's still going.
Yeah,
still
but yeah,
it's
I,
about
it's
about
I think it might have
like
gone
this guy who's a high school chemistry teacher. And he finds that he's got lung cancer.
No,
so
it's been recording the whole time. I used to think when it fell asleep that it stopped recording, but no, it keeps going.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like he kind of sort of
okay. The muffins are
fine.
Yeah,
yeah.
This is one of my projects. I send muffins to people. If you want a muffin,
sorry.
If you this, if you want a muffin, I have a form online. I'll send you one.
No,
this would
be cool.
Yeah, you would have to give me your address for me to do that. To send a muffin, this is one of my projects. I have a form online, I'll post them a muffin in the mail. But that's the thing, it does require you to trust me. You'll have to give me some of your personal information. Well, I'll send you a link too. I don't have your email, but I'll send you a link. I'll friend you on Facebook. We're not friends on Facebook.
Okay, befriend me.
I will befriend you. We've only met once before. It was the twilight of the last year at the party after my birthday party, the white fucking
fun.
Yeah. Who was there? It was Gab and fucking who was there?
This was like, it was pretty late when we turned up.
Yeah, there was
but,
late in the evening.
There was you, some stripper. And
stripper? Was it Victoria?
You were getting a lap dance when I arrived.
Was it from my sister who still hasn't turned up?
I think it was your sister, yes.
No,
it wasn't. It was a very attractive young lass, and I think her name may have been Gab.
Was it Miff? No, it was...
No, it wasn't Miff. I think it was Gab.
It was Gab, oh, okay. Yeah,
and it was pretty hot and steamy.
Yeah.
But
we had just gotten together at that time.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I mean, that's how I knew all that information I was talking about earlier on, because I saw you
with your pants off having a lap dance.
Oh, you're assuming? Oh, you're making this up. You're a troublemaker.
No. Of course, it's true. But I was talking about I said two things there. But I thought you had a quite a large one, but you said you had a small one. So I'm confused.
And we come full circle again, because she's probably, I'm sure that Adele's whole part is me talking about my dick and how big it is.
What? No, but that was just what we were talking about earlier on.
So it's just a natural continuation. No one's had any Russian cocaine. I'm going to have some. We've got Russian cocaine. Jackie, do you want some Russian cocaine?
No, there's one thing that I want to clarify with you.
Yeah, what do you want?
And that is to do with, I know it's a touchy subject, but DF.
Daniel Freaker. Yeah, you're obsessed with this as well.
I said
it's all about my dick and Daniel Freaker.
Yes, and I said that you two in the opening scene would be a perfect kind of match. And you were saying that you've been there before. Now, please tell me more.
Alright, well, this isn't going to go on the internet, so I suppose it's a bit special. Oh boy, interesting. Daniel Freaker was a very good friend to me throughout 2007 when I was very depressed. She lived down the road in Collingwood. And we would meet up and have tea at Bevita on Smith Street every week. And she really kept me going through that harsh winter. And she would tell me all about her terrible problems she was having with her boyfriend, Luke. And then eventually she broke up with him. She went to New York, came home, broke up with Luke, won the Qantas Spirit of Youth Award, and went mental and went back to her parents' bedroom in Perth. And started to speak all in pods all the time, which caused the Centrelink people to send her to go and see a psychiatrist, and she was diagnosed with obsessive compulsive disorder. Long story. But point is, before she left, we got it on, and stuff happened. But that's only the one time. And, it was a significant moment to me. I think for Danielle, it was more just she just broke it up and she was very much done,
Why was it a significant moment for you?
Because I'm completely in love with her, of course, today.
Well, high five. Yeah, that's amazing.
Oh, no,
it's just so awesome to
she
be
rubbed
to
up
say
against,
that.
She rubbed up against my leg a bit in New York, like I was staying in her tiny, horrible room. I can't believe I just said this shit. Oh my god.
No, but this is amazing.
Fuck it. I have to think about the consequence of what I've done now.
No, you don't have to think about anything because this is the conversation between us, and I just think it's amazing that you can just come out and just say it. And it just
I think it's amazing too. I don't know what to
do. It doesn't.
It's good. This is what it's all about. It's good to say this.
And I think it's just a really beautiful thing. So. High fives to you, and good on you for just, going for it and just saying stuff. Just saying the way you feel. I mean, really honest about it. There's nothing, why should you not?
In principle, I agree with you.
Why should you not?
And this is what it's all about. I'm always like,
there's
a line in this Lady Gaga song I'm about to play in a minute.
Yeah.
The truth is sexy.
Yeah, it's so
also
sexy.
The reason that it's sexy is that it's dangerous, and this is also something we must consider.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think you're an amazing person. Even though I've only met you twice, I've always thought you're someone special, and that I wanted to interact with you more. I think you're someone that people are drawn to. Hence why you have 100 guests to invite on your list.
Everyone knows 100 people. It's not that. Actually, I'm a complete recluse. I find people very difficult to... I love people. I'm fascinated by them. I find it difficult to get into such a bubble. There's certainly 100 people I'd like to have to dinner at my house. But thank you for being here. You're so kind and appreciated. Well, I'll turn to you on Facebook. Have I got shit all from my beard? I'm not used to starting.
You need to trim that beard.
No, I don't know.
Have you grown attached to it?
It's more that I've made this resolution not to cut my hair at all this year, and I quite like that.
Okay.
I mean, it may not serve me in terms of my appearance, but I think it's a
So be with it.
Is it still recording? I've got to make sure, because at the second, okay, last time we had a disaster. We had a similar kind of very long epic audio, and then I pushed the wrong button. Have you got an iPhone? It's so easy to do. I pushed the wrong button.
It is. What is this? 39 minutes.
But it'll continue to record, I think, until it runs out of room. So I've never tested it, but I suspect
it's like to do that, to actually do that really, really well.
It's going to be really...
It's like a doll
with
it. I have to go and check my beard. I'll be back.
What I need to do to do that really, really well. What I need to do, but... Oh, we're still recording.
Yes.
See what happened to
40 minutes. I
thought you guys...
Everyone's saying profound things. I keep looking in you. I've got this in your ears. Profound? Okay, that's good. I've got nothing in me right now. Let me think.
The recorder and the phone don't work simultaneously for privacy protection.
I should have guessed. I think I'm profundity free. Do you have anything profound to say to Tegan's phone?
Have you talked at all to the phone, Danny? Have you talked
balls.
He has balls. Not.
Balls, I knew you'd come up with the goods.
I invented it in Camberwell and it looks like you can't.
I just deflected. I think last time that happened, you told me saying the most mundane things in the world, so I thought, I'll preserve some mystery.
Yes. Keep it passing on. There's more love than this. You recorded this in a toilet.
So, how do you know the Kagan?
A friend and also works.
You may actually say so. No, it doesn't.
Oh, Jenny, I'm going to
play some.
I'm sorry for accusing you of fucking. I thought you might, because I'm paranoid, because at the last dinner party, right, we had Justin and all of these other people that you don't know. But it was awesome, and we got some epic audio like this. Like, this sort of is epic, 41 minutes. I'm looking forward to recording, you know, like, I have something to look forward to.
About 10 minutes of those.
Yeah. We did this, and I pushed the wrong button and fucking deleted it. And I'm so not going to do that this time.
Everyone, can you say what you did before?
Yeah, just keep it in mind, because we may need to do another take. No, surely the dog not. All right. I'm going to push the stop button now. Thank you. Good evening. Dinner party 3, everyone. No, seriously.
Cheers.
Thank you, everyone. No, you don't. You can do whatever the fuck you want.